All right, it's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again, back from the holidays 100%, as we got the band back together here.
At
WGCL.
And the band is cold.
Yes, it is. We are taking your phone calls, as always, at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight on the show. The Colts advance through the Cincinnati Bengals, who once again were missing a couple of their best players, and their other best players just stunk up the joint. And the Colts did what they had to do, and that's kind of been their MO in the last couple of years. Andrew Luck's awfully good and made a couple plays, and that's what it takes. They move on, and by virtue of the only road win of the weekend being the Ravens at Pittsburgh, the Colts will go to Denver. And you might have heard of the guy quarterbacking the Denver Broncos, so a little bit of a sideshow going on there. We'll talk about the preview on Wednesday, but we'll look at yesterday on here in the show in just a little while. But we start tonight with the basketball Hoosiers, who are on the road tonight, 7 o'clock, right after the end of the show on Big Ten Network. They go up to East Lansing to face the Michigan State Spartans. Michigan State, who hard to call them awful at this point in time, but certainly not up to snuff of the last several years of Tom Izzo. So is this a chance for the Hoosiers to knock off a second road game in a row? Yes, I said second, because last Wednesday on New Year's Eve, they went out to Nebraska and beat the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Everybody's darling heading into the season, not anybody's darling right now after losing a couple home games, including to Incarnate Word. And now to the Hoosiers, who got it done at various times. It's hard to say down the stretch, but down the stretch includes the end of the game, and they end up winning the game 70-65. And a physical team, a physical matchup, and Nebraska is struggling on offense. I don't think there's any question they're struggling with their confidence. But what strikes me about this as far as the Hoosiers are concerned, because all you can do is play the teams that don't have no confidence, they're on your schedule when they show up. It was still a physical game for the Hoosiers. Offensively, there was not a thing of beauty, but it was what it was. It was methodical, and I thought they stood up to a team trying to bully them around. It was not their best shooting night, their lowest three-point made game of the year, with a 7 of 24 from that, only 9 of 17 from the free throw line. But once again, they win the rebounding battle. In this game, they limit their turnovers. Glass, you said you watched it a second time this afternoon. It was not a thing of beauty by any stretch, but the W is a thing of beauty.
That's right.
And again, with a physical game like that, to come out of it with the rebounding lead, a team that doesn't rebound it well, it's a very, very nice win for the Hoosiers.
No, you gloss it up and put it not in the Louvre, but you put it somewhere, and you need to remember what happens, because it's your first road game of the year. It's not Madison Square Garden. It's a true road environment where you had 50 IU fans instead of 5,000 or whatever showed up at Madison Square Garden. So the Hoosiers 0-2 there. They should have learned something playing Louisville and Georgetown on the road. Tight games, both of them for some time. The Georgetown game, obviously, even tighter than probably would have liked. Indiana had a 10-point lead at halftime in that game, if I remember correctly, and didn't hang on to win. They had a 16-point lead in the first half here, just like they did last year. And again, tried to, I don't want to say give it away, that's not accurate, but struggled to close the game out. But when you look at it at the end of the day, Dave, how many road wins does this team have last year?
I believe it
was one at Northwestern. That was their only road win last year. So to start off the season with a road victory, I don't care if it's Nebraska, I don't care if it's Penn State, I don't care if it's if it is Northwestern. You have to win some road games if you're going to make the NCAA tournament. You're going to have to win some road games if you're going to want to win the Big Ten regular season. You can't just pick and choose when you want to play well, right? You've got to go out, you've got to execute, you've got to get after it. So hopefully the Louisville game, hopefully the Georgetown game, hopefully the Butler game, they've learned in some of these different arenas. I know they're not road games. I get that. But they learn playing against better teams and bigger environments how to get through some of this. And the other thing they learned from those teams, and you brought it up, the physicality shouldn't have surprised them against Nebraska. That shouldn't have bothered them after playing Louisville.
Right.
It shouldn't have bothered them after playing Butler.
Right.
It should not have even been in the ballpark after Georgetown. That team was flat out mean.
Especially on the perimeter.
So that team shouldn't Indiana shouldn't be bothered by any of that until collectively – and collectively means about 9 guys taking their lunch pail to work and getting the job done. That was impressive. You had an off night from Yogi Ferrell. You've asked the question. I've asked the question. What is this team like when Yogi Ferrell doesn't light up the scoreboard?
Well, 13 between him and Blackman, the two leading scorers.
And you win a game. That's the key. But the one thing I liked from each of these players, and I talked about this morning. I talked to Zach Osterman on the morning program. I did a little preview because Joe is out today. When you don't score, you must contribute.
Mm-hmm.
And contribute, they did. 8 rebounds for Blackman, that's 8 right. assists for Yogi. And how many turnovers between them?
4.
That's on the road? I'll sign up for that every single road game from here on out.
As much as the ball is in their hands, certainly.
That's exactly right. And again, some scores that when it doesn't fall for them or they don't get open looks, go away. Blackman still ground out 8 rebounds. 7 of them defensive.
Yeah, 5 rebounds for Yogi, too.
There you go.
You're exactly right.
They participated and contributed.
They struggled desperately from the field. 4 of 16 shooting. The question with this team was always going to be, was it going to reside entirely on its shooting? And that's the other thing that's nice about this. We were talking about what a bad rebounding and defensive team this was about 3 weeks ago. And now suddenly, at the very least, you can say they're holding their own, if not winning, the rebounding battle.
They are.
Hey,
defense, we'll still talk
defense
about.
Defense is still a huge question mark. I'm not even saying anything about that side
no.
of things.
So,
but there are dress the rebounding.
And some of the things, as you mentioned accurately, they usually make more three-pointers. They were terrible from the free throw line. Let's be fair. Let's call it what it is.
9 of 17, they're much
better. On the road,
than that.
No, that's not going to – that doesn't win very many ball games. And the other part of Indiana, again, and this is a factor that needs to be pointed out on the defensive side of things, they don't force turnovers, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
The way Indiana puts pressure on teams, and we've talked about this, and you saw it in this game, when you get a 16-point lead, Nebraska has to play almost perfectly to tie the game. Right? So they use all that energy coming back to get it tied.
Right.
They take a 4-point lead, I believe, at 47-43. They're feeling pretty good about themselves. Then all of a sudden, Indiana makes a few baskets in a row and gets a few stops in a row, makes a few more baskets. Indiana's pressure comes from their offense. It comes from scoring.
Mm-hmm.
They won this game on 2 big runs. 16-point run, they led, 36-20 in the first half, and in the second half, what was the last lead? 60-47? Did it get bigger than that?
Yes, 13? It did, and I just had it in front of me and lost
13-15?
It. It was 13 points.
Great. So
it was 67-54 with 4:50.
There you go. So you busted out 16 in the first half. You busted out 13 in the second half, and that puts pressure on other teams. It's not the, 8 turnovers they forced. That was it for the game. They didn't force many turnovers, but their offense puts pressure on it. And to see that offense put pressure without Farrell and without James Blackman Jr. lighting up the scoreboard, Indiana, I think, will be better throughout the rest of this year if Yogi doesn't need 19 shots a game, if he's not their leading scorer. When Indiana has contributions from 7 or 8 guys, Dave, they're hard to guard, and they're very difficult to shut down and stop on offense. You saw them go through the lull where Nebraska got back in the game. You saw them get another 13-point lead and go back into another lull where Nebraska got back into the game. That's fine. You'd rather be ahead than chase, especially on the road, and you saw why.
No question. 333-2665 is our phone number. We got to take a quick break, but we'll continue to look at Indiana-Nebraska, what went the best out at Nebraska, and how does that translate over to Michigan State?
And that's a good problem to have.
Michigan State, a more talented team, but having their own struggles right now. So does it translate tonight? We'll talk about all that when we get back. 333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number.
Let me help you out with the programming notes that we have. This weekend, a full weekend of NFL football playoffs. Some people argue it's the best weekend of football. Why? Well, it brings in all the people on bye from last week.
Yeah.
So we'll have a doubleheader for you Saturday with pregame starting around 3:45.
There was a time that used to be all blowouts. The guys with byes would kick the crud out of everybody.
Not anymore.
Not the last decade or so.
Baltimore heads to New England to start things off. The pregame starts at 3:45 Saturday night, 7. Second game, Carolina in Seattle. That'll start around 8:25-ish, depending on whatever happens in the games before that. And then Sunday noon will be pregame, 1 o'clock, Dallas in Green Bay, followed by the Colts in Denver to take on Peyton Manning and the Broncos. So that we are covered for coming up this weekend. We got all the X's and T's and I's and cross dotted and everything else this afternoon on that. So we're up and ready to roll.
There you go. So 4 games of NFL this weekend.
One thing to throw in there, since it is the playoffs, we will carry Westwood One. We will not have Bob Lamy and the Colts Veteran Radio Network. That's just not how it works.
Right.
Once you get into the playoffs, it's the playoffs coverage, not the Colts coverage. There is a difference. So don't be upset if you don't hear Bob Lamy. You will hear the national broadcast. And with four games going on, I'm not sure who will get, but it should be somebody quite good, because they don't. The NFL doesn't goof around on their marquee weekend to get us ready for this.
They put us in the marquee slot, too. So
the prime time slot on Sunday. So that'll be an interesting one, but we'll do more about that a little bit later. Joe is back with Sports Talk tomorrow night. It's North Night as Marty Hutzel with the North Wrestling Crew and Andy Hodson's basketball. Everybody's off to a flying start here in the 2014-15 winter sports, and we'll get caught up with the Northsiders tomorrow night live from 6 to 7 right here on WGCL.
333-2665 is our phone number. Talking IU basketball, they go out to Nebraska, get their first true road victory of the year. And again, Nebraska may be a better-looking team before the season started than they are right now.
I think that's a fair statement.
I think that's the way to describe it. It does not make it any less of a victory on the road for the Hoosiers, who have to start on the road to start their first two games here in the Big Ten season. Going to Michigan State tonight. Before we leave Nebraska, though, I asked you a question to look at in particular, and I picked it for one specific reason. Tom Crean keeps talking about why his offense is so good and what makes it good and what it has to remember to do, and has essentially suggested that when it doesn't do this is when you see the offensive lulls. So I asked you to take a look at this as best you could. He says the ball has to go through the paint.
That's the key. Not in the paint. Well, in and through are two different things, and that's a good point.
It's following it through. I said earlier, you get in the paint. Of course, you have to get it in the paint to get through the paint. It's semantics a little bit, but the point there being, it goes into the paint to start with, and from there, you've got a lot of options on this team. So the question is, you know, how? I won't say how much do you buy that, but how true do you think that is with this team?
Is it imperative? Because it causes so many problems. Why? Because once you're in the paint with the dribble, that means you've beaten somebody. Mm-hmm. So that means you got to rotate, you got to help. You put the other team's defense under pressure. And I'm going to go back. That's my word this year. Indiana's offense is the pressure causer for this team.
Right.
So when Indiana puts pressure on their opponent, it forces them to have solid defensive rotations. It forces their opposition to make sure they're in good help position. It makes everybody else who Indiana is attacking, is your head on a swivel? Are you properly positioned? You've seen Indiana, what happens when they have penetration against them. Things don't always happen
right.
So you try to do that to your opponent. So that's getting the ball into the paint. Getting the ball through the paint, you've seen Yogi Ferrell. How many times has he driven to the baseline? How many times does he go up for a layup or pass? I'm not sure either. Neither are other teams. He's done a better job of not turning that over. His freshman year, a lot. Last year, some. Mm-hmm. This year, not nearly as much. He's making better decisions, and he has better options.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when that happens, now you're in the paint. Do you leave Blackman? Do you leave Johnson?
Mm-hmm.
Do you leave Zeisloft? Do you leave Hartman?
Do you have Williams Elaine?
There you go. Yeah. All these questions develop. So that's why that's exactly why this offense is effective. The other part is it also sets up your shooters, and it also sets up driving lanes. And when you're in the paint, going to the basket, you get layups or dunks, you get to the foul line. Lots of good things happen when you go through there. So I don't think anybody argues with Tom Crean. The ball needs to be in the paint. What people get confused with means it doesn't mean pounded into Perea and Holt
time after time. I do think he wants the drivers to get to the basket.
He does.
But you're exactly right. This is not about posting up. And I said before the season, I was very interested to watch how this team played, because last year they seemed to feel the need as an entire team to get it to Noah Vonleh on the block. Mm-hmm. And it's Noah Vonleh, very talented. He's good in there.
Different.
I get it. But it was a struggle in there a lot of times with him in that spot. He was almost a better face-up shooter from outside than he was on that block.
Well,
I don't know what that exactly was. But the point being, this team doesn't have to cram it in there to a guy you don't know about.
There was no one to shoot last year. Vonleh was automatically double-teamed.
He got a lot of pressure. No question.
Does anybody double in Perea?
Nobody.
They can't afford to.
They can't get off
now. Anytime Perea makes three moves and a step through layup, you think Indiana fans like that? Oh my gosh, what a play that was. Three of those a game is all you're asking for. That's it.
Yeah.
You're not talking about feeding the post like a horse, but if you get the ball in the post and Perea gets good enough position, he has shown you he has good enough hands and feet, he can get a layup. He can get to the foul line. He's not a terrible free throw shooter.
No,
he's not a great one.
His
offensive game is maybe a little better than people thought it would be.
12
points
right
and 10 rebounds in 22 minutes. I don't care who you're playing. He didn't do that against NCAA&T.
No.
He didn't do that against some of these other teams that we played that weren't very good.
And that's after foul trouble, you know, before the first TV timeout.
4 minutes and the first of the half.
Yeah.
That was it. So a very solid performance there. And Max and Emmett Holt came off the bench and gave you a great.
He did.
It was 8 minutes. The first six of them were unstoppable.
Yeah.
He was up and down the court. That's the point. The more times in the paint, good things happen. Why? Is it easier to make threes or layups? It's easy. There you go. Are they going to foul you on three-pointers? Are they going to foul you around the basket?
Right.
Right. So, again, it's a wonderful theory, and when the kids make it work, boy, it looks great, doesn't it? You force shots? No. Why? You got four of the guys on the floor. They can get it. That's the one thing that Indiana has probably helped themselves most this year. You'll see it every once in a while. That's fine. Some guys heat check. I get it. Mm-hmm. But you don't see as many bad shots as you like. You still see bad decisions. So guys put their head down, dribble, 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 dribble. You still see that. Mm-hmm. Why? They're sophomores. That's what happens. They're freshmen. That's what happens. I get it. Farrell has to do it sometimes because he's last. He gets the ball last in the shot.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. He still gets stuck with it sometimes.
Right. But Stan still got his head down. Troy's still going to get his happy feet on the perimeter when he gets his eyes big. These things happen. You take the good with the bad because when you see it work, not a lot of teams slow this down. How many points did they have against Georgetown? 80-something. Georgetown usually known being a pretty good defensive team. How many did Butler get against Butler? Butler, again, a team that will grind on you and beat on you. Again, a good output there. Why?
82.
It's being
87 in overtime in Georgetown.
Right. So those are big numbers, and that's Indiana's offense has proven it works. They have to remain patient enough throughout big opponents to make it come off. You saw some impatience maybe against Louisville. You saw some definite impatience against Georgetown, where you think, "Geez, we got to take the first good one we look at." And I'm just going back to that game briefly. We talk about when a good shot is and when a bad shot is, especially with three-pointers in transition. Mm-hmm. And Jim Calhoun made a super point. Minute 13 left to go. Indiana's down one or two, up one or two, whatever.
Right.
Steele, Blackman's got it, comes down three
first
on two.
First thing he sees,
and he shoots it. But again, here's the tough part with freshmen. You tell him the other 37 minutes, that's exactly
to
what you
crazy.
Want.
Sure,
and
absolutely.
Now you've got to pull back. If he hits it, it's a great shot
and here's
because
a
that's the guy you want shooting.
Exactly.
And it just didn't go in. But that balance is so fine in game and time situations. And that's kind of why when you play a schedule like Indiana does a little bit, you don't get in a lot of those. You didn't get any with Louisville. You're down 20 with 5 minutes.
No, when you're up 23, you're going to shoot it no matter what.
It doesn't matter. And no one cares. Right. They just tell you in practice, hey, if it's 5 minutes to go, this is what happens. So you need some of those games to work those kinks out. Again, Indiana should have been knocked out of the game. Yogi Banks in a three and hits a step back three in that game. That game should have been over in regulation.
Sure, should have been over in regulation.
Right. But what they did against Nebraska, you didn't see many of those four shots.
Right.
You didn't see on the road of, geez, I'm going to put my head down and dribble into six guys. Now, part of that's Nebraska's not very good defensively. But when Indiana shares the basketball, when Indiana moves the basketball through the paint, just like you talked about, good things happen. And it was on display in a road game in the Big Ten. When you win one game, as they did last season, you take them any way you can get them. And that performance, hang your hat. That was nice enough and not perfect. This team did not have to play perfect to win, and that's a huge, huge confidence boost.
Well, and it didn't play perfect again.
No, not at all.
When you got 34 points worth of scoring a night on the out there, that's up 13.
Went quiet, yeah.
And you win the game. There's a difference. Last question before we have to hit the break. Then, last several games, this team has been a completely different, at least number wise, rebounding team. What has been the difference here for this team? Because we were talking earlier, they were getting the crud beat out of them by teams that were not supposed to lose dramatically by. And all of a sudden, they're flipping it. It's double-digit leads almost every game.
I think we touched on it a little bit. James Blackman Jr. gives you a huge advantage. When your two guards getting up almost 5 rebounds a game,
yeah.
It might even be higher than that after the last couple games. He
was at 5.5 or something.
There you go. So, I mean, right there is a great start. And Perret is playing better. You want him to play exactly like he did against Nebraska, but if he can give you 5 or 6 rebounds, and Holt can give you 4 or 5 rebounds.
Well, and to illustrate it, Blackman just a couple games ago was our leading rebounder at, I want to say, 5.7.
Before
he's
Troy
at 5.4. Now it's Troy at 6, Hunter at 5.5, and James at 5.4.
Gang rebounds. Why everybody gets a piece. Not everybody's going to play 40 minutes. So, again, part of it's want, part of it's athletic ability. I think it's about 90% getting after it. Guys that know Perret and Williams are around the basket the most, they should get it. Blackman goes and gets it because he's a basketball player, and that's how it works out. And Indiana doesn't have to depend on one guy. That's the good news. You get it from everywhere. And again, that limits your you're maybe not the best on defense. It limits possessions when you don't give up a ton of offensive rebounds. You saw against Louisville how that doesn't work. The shoe was on the other foot that night.
Almost an additional four a game from Yogi and Robert Johnson and Colin Hartman.
There you go.
16 minutes a game. And three a game from Emmett Holt in 11 minutes a game.
And those are the guys.
It all helps.
Those are the guys right there. You just named the starting five, didn't you?
Yeah.
They have to contribute. You can't wait for someone to come off the bench and do it. Holt's helped you with that. You need a little bit more consistent, but he's a freshman. Blackman Jr. is a freshman. Yeah. Johnson's a freshman. You're getting contributions from guys you'd hope you get contributions from, and that's what Indiana basketball is about. You don't bring guys in. You say, hey, this is our recruiting class. Let's bring them along slowly. Mm-hmm. You can. You'll be 9th, 10th in the league.
Sure.
You got to bring in kids that can play.
That's why we were 17 and 15 last year.
And can play now. That helps.
We've got to take another quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. When we get back, what do the Hoosiers need to do to pull off their second Big Ten road victory in a week?
Wounded animal.
Back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone. Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. One more quick programming note in addition to all the NFL stuff, which we'll talk about again here in a little while, but all the playoff games here on WGCL over the weekend. This Friday night, we're back with high school basketball. North at South, Chalk Talk, 7 o'clock, kickoff, tip-off.
What's up, civil puck, about all that war stuff. Anyhow?
That's right, 7:30, so the big game here in Monroe County.
It is a big
one.
And North with a sweep last year, is that correct? I think that's how it went down, because I know North went to the semi-state, so they won the sectional.
They won the sectional.
And I think they won the regular season matchup, so the Panthers, revenge, and they get their home court as well this year.
That always helps. 333-2665 is a phone number. What do the Hoosiers need to do to win in East Lansing? What has it been? 91, I think.
No, they won. Victor and Cody won there.
That's right. They won once. Cody's first chance there.
One
he
is
pretty
much than
got
zero.
Dominated. But in the second one, they managed to come back. But
again,
what's that, one win since 91? It's one of the toughest places to play, and most importantly because the opponent. But this year's opponent, maybe not so good. Let's see what our friend John, thinks about our chances.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Should we take the Texas Southern game plan up there with us tonight and unleash it on them?
I think Indiana should win this game because I think they're a better team. But like I told you off air, Glass, Michigan State's paying a price for two bad recruiting classes in a row. But they have a great coach. And my greatest fear is to see Brandon Dawson, who's not a great scorer, end up with like a 22 or 23 point night and 15 rebounds, and then just kill us on the boards and just throw the ball over the place. That's, I think, the only way that Michigan State can win this game, but that's a way they can win this game.
Yeah, and I think that's the other point, too.
Traditionally, they are a big rebounding team. This team is not as good inside.
They're not as athletic.
All of their best athletes, except for Brandon Dawson,
the rebounding margin is still 7.5 a game, so for all that, that's still pretty solid. But their turnover margin is nil, so that means they don't guard as hard, and they're throwing it away a little bit, so that is different. But I think you take Valentine Dawson and Travis Trice, and those guys are going to eat, and the rest of them, don't let Costello get 20 and 10. That's a guy that'll kill you. Or you let one of these 3-point shooters come off the bench and hit 5 or 6. We've seen it with Wisconsin, we've seen it with Illinois, mm-hmm. we've seen it with 100 teams that Indiana plays. Somebody's always getting a career night against the Hoosiers, and when that stops, like it did against Nebraska, Indiana wins the game, John.
If you would have told me before the game that neither Yogi or Blackwood would get double figures against Nebraska, and Shields and Pettaway would have good offensive games, I'd say we're going to lose.
Yeah,
sure.
13 combined against what, 44?
Right, but they had one had eight rebounds, the other had 8 assists.
Yeah, right.
And Yogi looks totally comfortable passing the ball to other guys because he knows other guys can make shots.
Yeah, and that was a total difference from last year.
And he did not have that last year. It was like breaking right all over again. I've got to bail this team out because nobody else is moving or anything.
Right.
So, I mean, the offense is better.
Well, Brandon Dawson is such a huge key to this game, as you said, and partly because he's averaging 9 rebounds a game. He leads the Big Ten right now. He's got a hurt wrist.
His activity.
It is. It's the way he hits the boards, the physicality with which he goes. He's only 6'6", so it's not like he's monstering over people in there, but they got to find a way to kind of keep him with the lost confidence, I would say. But, hey, it never hurts to get a guy in foul trouble.
The guy that stirs the drink for Michigan State, John, is Valentine, and more Valentine. He handles the ball. He shoots the threes, he takes the pressure off that entire an entire offense because he can create his own shot. And the more you make Trice shoot, the more you make Trice handle it, I think it's better. So if you, I don't know who locks down anybody on the Hoosier defensive side.
Nobody.
That's not going to happen. So
that's not the way they play.
No,
I mean,
it's
I don't
not.
Want to take this too far, this comparison too far, but they're in a way they're similar to Duke and North Carolina, Indiana is.
And yeah, they're an ACC team.
Offense.
Yeah,
and that's fine because I think you've got to score to do anything in the NCAA tournament. If you can't, if you're just a defensive team, you're not going to go very far because you've got to be able to
look
score.
How Wisconsin's changed.
Here's what you're seeing. You're seeing an Indiana offense that's good enough to break down, as Glass mentioned, get in the paint and create pressure. Our defense is bad enough to give pressure to teams that maybe don't deserve it. We've just got the better finishers.
Right, right. And Indiana's offense can go through the post without a dominant post. I mean, Hanner doesn't need 20 points a game. We don't need Kent Benson or Dean Garrett or Alan Henderson. They just need him to
Liar.
Be eight or huh?
Liar. We take him in a heartbeat.
Huh? They don't have any eligibility left.
That's
sorry.
Right. We wouldn't mind having a couple of those guys.
Well,
around.
I would not either. I mean, Trey Lyles would look really good in an IU uniform.
Well,
you'd right
rather
now.
Sit the bench at Kentucky. Let him. Now, yeah. John, I always argue that Indiana's pressure, the pressure they put on other teams is through their offense.
Exactly.
But when Indiana gets in these little funks of not hitting things, they're still going to have to rebound, not give Michigan State second chances. They can't fall asleep defensively because Valentine slashes, Dawson slashes, mm-hmm. Trice slashes. They've got enough of those guys, and they're a wounded animal. They're coming in the game. They're 9-5, for goodness sakes, Michigan
exactly.
State. Their best win, Dave was telling me, after, who's their best win? Marquette?
Marquette.
They're 90-something?
Yeah, this before team, Luke Fisher was playing, too.
Ooh, yeah, the good
yeah,
point.
That's right.
Very fair. Boy, he's tearing it up. But here's the problem. I'm not worried about Michigan State tonight. I think Indiana, if they hold their nerve, and that's going to be the interesting part because this is not Nebraska. Nebraska is
a
football school that built a basketball arena, right. And they had a game there the other night. This is nerds.
Yes.
This is the Izzo's on vacation. I get it.
Right.
But this is a different culture and a different place. History pans that
well,
out.
The,
for
the
us.
Wounded animal makes more sense
it does.
Because this is a team that's got the class that understands what it takes to win. Nebraska, I don't know how much it takes to get them out of their comfort zone.
It certainly doesn't seem
like much. The interesting thing to me about this Michigan State team right now is they're relying on 3-point shooting an awful lot. They're 0.2 percentage points behind the Hoosiers.
2,000th.
Yeah, exactly. Valentine's shooting 47%. Actually, he's better than Yogi right now and shooting as more of them.
Let him shoot.
Bryn Forbes is shooting more of them at nearly as good a percentage. Trice shoots him well. This is suddenly it's a 3-point shooting team. It's not the physical team we're used to seeing.
Well, Indiana, I hope Indiana looks at this and says, after Wisconsin, there's not a team in the league Indiana shouldn't be able to beat. And I'm not saying they're going to beat them all. Obviously, they're not. But I mean,
we should say that every year, shouldn't we?
No. Well, you should. Ideally, you do it, but realistically,
you don't get to
because of you know, who you lose, a hardship, and stuff like that. But this year is wide open, other than Wisconsin, and you want to play them.
How much does the
Let's come back to you. Next question.
Of the season change with the win tonight, John. If they're 2-0 on two road games, oh, my goodness.
Well,
now
it,
they've got expectations to deal with, which they didn't have 15 minutes ago.
Let me ask you both a question. Would you have been happy with a split on the road?
Absolutely.
I'll tell you right now.
You'd be really disappointed if they lose them all night,
Are you offering?
Tonight, buddy. They go tonight. This game tips off in 20 minutes.
Yeah. So, I mean, that just shows you how things can change for this
it does.
Day. I mean, this,
and
I mean,
the other thing, too, and Dave and I talked about this briefly last half hour, the performance Indiana had at Nebraska was nice. Nebraska's not very good, so I'm not gonna get upset with Indiana if they throw the ball
NCAA
away.
But tournament again, according to Sports Illustrated and some of these other people.
Well, that was before
the
season.
Here was the whole question going into the season. We knew the Big Ten was not a very good offensive team. They did not have a lot of guys coming back at a lot of positions. Indiana, we thought, could be a good offensive team. The question would be, would it translate to the road in the Big Ten and within the defenses at home? In the Big Ten even, and we've got one game as evidence of that, so I don't want to get crazy on it, but that's still the question, is how does their offense translate? Because it's not going to become a shutdown defensive team suddenly. It is one of the two best offenses in the league right now. Does it translate every night in the Big Ten against the defenses they see? I think part of the benefit there is you don't have a lot of great offenses that scare the hell
I'll
out of you on
Maryland
their side.
In there for
Maryland's awfully
three.
Good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not fair to leave them out.
Six guys make threes in the first half.
There you go. You have three of them. Who else is a good
That's
offensive
right.
team? I mean, a good
Iowa,
offensive team.
You can throw in there.
They're not nearly
decent.
What
they're
were last year.
Nope, they're a little bit different because they don't have Devin Marble, but they've got some guys up front that can play it. But, John, if you look at this Indiana,
if it translates tonight into 75, 78 points
on
the road and a win, that looks awfully good
unless
to every Hoosier fan out there.
Michigan State and Nebraska don't make the tournament. then you
I don't care about that.
Well, then the win doesn't say as good. But the
you can only play who's on your schedule. That's
exactly right.
Game.
How do you get to 10-8? You win a couple road games.
But that's my point.
If you win the first two, you get there faster.
My point is they're not handing out trophies the first week in January, nor should they. And when you lose some of these premium players to the NBA early, when you lose some of these players transferring or whatever it may be, guess what the Big Ten always has that a lot of conferences might not be able to argue in the same corner. They got some pretty good coaches. So I don't think you're seeing finished products at IU.
No.
I don't think you're seeing finished products. Definitely not at Michigan State. Tom Izzo tends to finish a little stronger than he begins. So John Beilein can coach himself out of a wet paper bag more than once a week. So it'll be interesting to see what these wins this week after Indiana wins tonight, what it looks like, oh, I don't know, on Valentine's Day or the 1st of March, because to play all these games, who gets hurt? Who's got academic problems?
I'd take two road games in my pocket to start the season
off. Cut your right pinky finger off to have it. John, give us a prediction for tonight.
I think Indiana's going to win. I'm going to say 68-65.
No, I don't agree.
I think if this team with two freshmen starting and a sophomore, and one of the juniors, Banks, well, he is freshman because he hasn't played very much. I mean, Perea is a junior, but he hasn't played enough to really – he's been stuck behind guys.
No, he hasn't played himself into the lineup, John. Let's be fair. He hasn't been stuck behind anybody. Yeah. He hasn't been good enough to play.
Well, yeah,
that's
but
been
he,
the issue.
He wasn't going to play.
Colin Hartman wasn't good enough to
play ahead of Bonley. So
he couldn't give him any bench minutes either. So that's good that he's played his way. It's good he's played his way into it. And Indiana needs every minute.
If they're a stock, I think you should buy Indiana because I think they have a chance. Their chance for going up is greater than most teams in the Big Ten.
I think that's accurate because of their offensive output. I think the problem is tonight, 68-65, they lose a game like that. I think they win 78-75. I think a higher scoring game is going to favor them because you're getting a little grinded out down the end. We saw against Georgetown the last couple minutes were very shaky in a two-possession game.
My one question mark is you shot it well, you scored a ton of points against Georgetown, and you gave a mediocre offensive team a lot more points than you had. And then you go out to Nebraska, who's not greedy on either end of the ball. You shoot it horribly, your two leading scorers don't score, and you still manage to grind out a victory. If this team can grind out some victories like this, you're exactly right, John. It's a huge upside for this team because it doesn't look like it and didn't look like it up until recently that it could do that kind of thing.
Does Blackman have a big game tonight?
Yeah, I think he does because he just doesn't have many games in a row where he doesn't perform.
To me, against these perimeter defenders, I think that's a big ask. Put Valentine on him, 6'5", got the same size.
Valentine's going to guard Troy Williams, I'll tell you right now.
Yep.
He has to. Who else is going to guard? They don't want Dawson in foul trouble.
Dawson can't stay.
His feet aren't that quick, you're right. And Michigan State's going to play some zone too, John. We'll see a battle of the coach and pupil tonight. 7 o'clock.
Should
That'll
be good.
Fun.
Yeah. Should Thanks,
be.
Guys.
All right, good job as
Thanks
always,
for the call,
John.
John.
Educated
we
basketball talk.
Before we hit a break, let's go. Prediction.
My heart says Indiana. The history tells me a wounded animal. Michigan State's too tough to beat tonight. I like John's score, but I'm going to flip it. Michigan State wins 68-65. First team to 70 might win. You'd think Indiana. I don't see – and Izzo blew the game against Maryland. First of all, let's get that out in the open. Maryland has the ball. Mm-hmm. Michigan State's got a 3-point lead with 5 seconds left. How do you not foul a guy? They didn't. Des Wells hits a three. Boom, overtime. And then they get beaten overtime. I mean, that's a bad coaching decision. Now, you don't say that very often with Tom Izzo. So I think he's got his A-game going. Indiana, to win tonight, Dave, is going to have to shoot a ridiculous 50-something percent from three. They're going to have almost no turnovers. And, again, they're going to have to take some punches because you know that Michigan State team at home with a couple bad losses on their schedule. Michigan State has circled this game and says, hey, guys, this is a win we need.
Yeah. Well, guess what? The last couple teams have come up against the Hoosiers, and they've said we can out-physical them. We can out-bunch them. And then guess what? So Hoosiers scored 87 on Georgetown. And then went out to Nebraska and won that game trying to be physical with them. I don't think this is nearly as good a team inside for Michigan State as usual. It's not. Brandon Dawson is a beast. He always has been. With that wrist, though, what does that mean? I don't know.
A dunk with his other hand.
What's been interesting to me, though, is the way the Hoosiers have hit the inside, especially rebounding. And if they keep the rebounding margin in their favor, I think they can eke one out. But
I buy
into much more, though, the wounded animal thing with Michigan State. I've seen it way too many times. Toughness-wise, I think the Hoosiers are getting tougher. But Michigan State is known for their toughness when their time is
up. I'm going to take one little point and nitpick it because you're right, but there's one more step you got to take. You talk about Indiana has to rebound well. Mm-hmm. If Indiana plays good defense, they have to rebound well as well because tough shots add more rebounds. If Indiana's getting shredded, there's not going to be a lot of rebounds.
If they're getting shredded.
Whether it's on the perimeter, whether you're going to see a ton of back cuts tonight, you're going to see plenty
of Michigan
motion.
State puts 78 up there, then we're losing.
That's the other thing. I don't care if you win the rebounding battle if you get beat by 15. That doesn't matter. The defense has to be first. The rebounding has to come with it. You can't give Michigan State lanes to the basket.
It's just, again, the last few games, it's been strange. Right. You think the Hoosiers have got to hit 18 threes to win a couple of these games, and they shoot 7 on the road and win at Nebraska.
Different animal. It is. It's a much different animal. Michigan State, and that's the one thing I don't want to swallow the hook on. And if Indiana wins the basketball game, it's not going to be lucky or fortuitous. It's going to be a good performance. It's going to have to be better than it was in Nebraska.
Going to the Breslin Center is a different animal.
That is a different animal.
We got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is our phone number. When we get back, Colts advance. They go to Denver on Sunday. We'll talk about how they did it when we get back. You're in the zone. You're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming note, Joe Smith back on the air live tomorrow night at Yogi's, the corner of 10th and Indiana, 6 o'clock with Joe Smith Sports Talk. I'll have Marty Hutzel at North Wrestling and Andy Hodson, North Basketball. So North
Maroon night. And gold. And Joe will join me in the morning, live the morning after, and we'll get his thoughts on Indiana and Michigan State.
333-2665 is our phone number.
And Joe will get plenty of TV time tonight because they sit
right
almost
next to the coaches.
Right there at the Breslin Center.
Siobhan Shields tried to jump right in his lap.
He did. I saw that. Hairbag, not an airbag. Hairbag.
Yeah, there you go. That's going to get you in trouble.
So Joe will be raring to go tonight. And
he didn't flinch, by the way.
No, he did not. He's been through enough of those. They know they don't want any part of him. So he'll be with us 7:45, 8:45 live tomorrow morning to wrap up what he saw courtside at the Breslin Center. And hopefully it's a Hoosier victory. Colts victory, not surprising yesterday. The Bengals came to town, Dave. They had a chance to avoid the Colts by winning their final regular season game, but did not. As they fell to Pittsburgh. Is that correct? Isn't that how that worked out?
That is correct.
And now both of those teams are out of the playoffs, beating up on each other. But not
nice
really.
Time to get a Pro Bowl defensive tackle back, right? During the playoffs?
Doesn't hurt. Four-game suspension over. He did his time for his crime, and that's the collectively bargained agreement, so that's what it is. But the Bengals had problems. No A.J. Green for the second time against the Colts, no Jermaine Gresham, and then Jeremy Hill, the big back that had – been really good the last second half of the season. He gets his ankle hurt, but the Colts did exactly what they needed to do. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't good looking. It wasn't football the coach's way, but it was a victory.
No, it is important also because this is a team that with its offensive line troubles, with its injuries to running backs, Trent Richardson was sick, and so they barely played Trent at all. So it was a Boom Heron and Zerlon Tipton, but the running game did not get going until very late in the game when it was already a 10-point and 2-touchdown nearly lead. It's easy to talk about Andrew Luck on the offense, and Andrew Luck was great
because
and
he makes
got
it easy.
You the lead. There's no question about that. I'm going to give a lot of props tonight, though, to the defense. 254 total yards. 115 of those were in the first two drives of the day, resulting in only 7 points for Cincinnati. It's 140 the rest of the game. They just shut them down, and they did it without options for Cincinnati really to go to other than Sanu. They threw everything in the kitchen sink at Andy Dalton and that offensive line, and they really didn't live up to any of their billing in that regard, certainly on the offensive line. Couldn't run the ball, just got dominated up front. And this is a Colts defense that had been a sieve recently against anybody who was halfway decent. It had not been playing well.
Timing is everything.
Huge props to them because they threw it all at them, and most of it worked.
Yep, and only 137 yards the first time these two teams met, so they have Cincinnati's number, whatever. whatever that might be. The Colts let the Bengals hang around a little bit, as you mentioned, with no Trent Richardson. That gave Boom Heron some chances. He fumbled twice. He lost one of them. Yep. T.Y. Hilton dropped more balls than he caught, which is strange because he had six for 100 and change.
Yeah.
But three of those would have been scores or first downs at least. Kobe Fleener got his ceremonial drop in. Dwayne Allen's off, is in a bet lined up. False starts twice. You can just go through the mistakes, nine penalties you didn't want to have. But what happens? Vinatieri makes every single field goal just like you pay him to do. McAfee, every punt, 68 yards, changing the field, changing the point of attack. And guys like Jack Doyle just catch the ball. You throw it to him, he catches it. Andrew Luck, you want to try to sack him? Let me just chuck it 50 yards down the field to Dante Moncrief on a dime in the corner of the end zone. Yep. I mean, that guy, he makes everybody. But when the Colts are their most potent, and they were to a degree against Cincinnati, it's nine guys in the pattern. Who are you going to stop? It's Nix. It's Wayne. It's Hilton. It's Doyle. It's the two tight ends. It's the guys out of the backfield. And when you move that ball around, it's kind of like I use offense, Dave. If you attack from multiple areas, they're very hard to defend, very hard to stop.
And they did it differently than we saw it earlier in the season. We were lauding them during their five-game winning streak for a good reason because they were getting eight guys into the passing
game. And they were getting 150 yards rushing
in addition to a couple running games. There's no question about that. And they were starting with the run and doing a lot of play action off this. This was almost all Andrew Luck and dropping back and very little threat of the run whatsoever. But they end up at the end of the day with nine guys with a catch, and two of those guys ended up with rushes also. But they get it around. And you mentioned two tight ends. It's three tight ends when you throw Jack Doyle in there. It's everybody under the sun, you know, and it's not Reggie Wayne. And that's, you know, Reggie's banged up, but you got a lot of options on this team. It still has some of the best skill position players in the league as a group.
If they want to cheat off Wayne or leave Wayne alone, he's going to catch the ball.
Oh, absolutely.
He's not going to run past you, but he's going to catch the ball every time. So I hope everybody says, well, he's old and washed up.
He's a different weapon now. There's no question. He went about 80 yards and didn't quite get to the end zone last week. But, but the point there is, that's the old the Hall of Famer, the veteran that's out there, and he's not really that much of the offense anymore other than a decoy, but everybody else out there can get it. I mean, Boom Heron had 10 catches.
He did for 85
Boom Heron,
yards.
10 catches for 85 yards.
And he caught them all.
If they get a lot of people involved, like you said with IU, a lot of people involved, you never know who's going to get the ball. You have to continue to defend the whole field.
Nope, and only giving up 10 points is excellent work by the defense. I have no arguments on any of that. The one knock you'd like, Adam Vinatieri kicked too many field goals because of maybe some play calling, maybe some drops in spots you shouldn't drop the football. The Colts really should have, this game should have been done and dusted by, I don't know, 8 minutes ago in the third quarter. It wasn't. It's a win. You don't want to play your best football yet. You want to play that next week in Denver.
And we will see, because that's been the stage where they cannot break through against the better team, the team with the bye. We will see, and we'll talk about that Wednesday. We've got to take off, folks. Go watch IU, and Hoosiers. Let's see if the Hoosiers can pull off a big victory. You've been in the zone.